has to be submission in various aspects of our lives, even as believers in Christ. But you'll notice that God resists the proud because God hates the sin of pride. It was pride that turned Lucifer into Satan, Isaiah 14. It was pride, a desire to be like God, that stirred Eve to take the forbidden fruit. And of course, the 1 John 2:16 tells us the pride of life is an evidence of worldliness. And the only antidote for pride is the grace of God. And we receive that grace when we yield ourselves to Him. And the evidence of that grace is yielding ourselves one to another. Submission. It's all a very key element in humility. And you'll notice what Peter says here in 1 Peter 5:6. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." We're humbling ourselves under the hand of God. God is the great King. We're under His rule. We're under His authority. As many, Paul said in Galatians, as walk according to this rule. It's the rule of God. God's rule. God's authority. And when we meet as the people of God and as we walk as the people of God day by day in our Christian lives, we're under His authority, His rule. And so we're in submission to Him. And then it says there, you'll notice, that He may exalt you in due time. You see, God never exalts a person until that person is ready for it. First the cross, and then the crown. First the suffering, and then the glory. Moses was under God's hand for 40 years before God sent him to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt. There was this period of probation for Moses. He had to learn submission. And you know, we all have to learn that. Some people, as soon as they're saved, they wind up on the platform. I remember a fellow when I was ministering in the John Knox Church, and he was only out of prison. I knew him and knew his background, and he had come to the Lord. And as soon as he got out of prison, he said, "You know, I could get on the platform and I could do this and that." I says, "The place for you is the back seat. You may say that was very hard. But you know, you have to learn to sit in the back seat." I don't mean literally sitting in the back seat of a meeting, but you know what I mean. In the place of humility. And you learn that. Humility. And then, of course, when you have proved yourself, then God will exalt you. One of the evidences of God's favor with Joseph was that after some 13 years of serving, God exalted him and lifted him to the throne in Egypt. And one of the evidences of our pride is our impatience with God. We're impatient. We want to move forward more quickly. We want to be exalted more quickly. We want the prominence more quickly. Is it not John, the apostle who spoke about Diotrephes, who loveth the preeminence? Sometimes I'd like just to sit back and enjoy sitting back listening to someone else rather than being up having to deliver all the time the Word of God. But God has given us that position under God. And here Peter was referring the words he had heard the Master say in Luke 14:11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." There's an exhortation to humility. I was reading what John Calvin said about this. He said, "God will never come to His right unless we are totally reduced to nothing." so that it may be clearly seen that all that is laudable in us comes from elsewhere. In other words, taking the place of humility. That's what God requires of us. The exhortation to humility. And then there's something else here quickly. The explanation of humility. He talks about being clothed with humility. It's an interesting phrase. The thought is, as one would be clothed with a garment. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ laid aside his outer garments, he put on a towel to become a servant. So each of us should have the servant's attitude. Be able to adapt to being a servant and minister to each other. Humility is not demeaning ourselves and thinking poorly of ourselves. It is simply not thinking of ourselves at all. Andrew Murray said, humility is simply the sense of entire nothingness. Humility is that grace that when you know you have it, you've lost it. The humble heart is God's throne in regard to his gracious presence, and heaven is his throne as to his glorious presence, said Thomas Watson. Have we put off the garments of pride in order that we might put on the clothing of humility? There's an interesting portion, we'll not turn to it for time, but in Luke 14, verses 8 to 11, it talks about taking the lowest place. You know, some people, when they go into a room, they want to have the highest place. They want to have the place of prominence. You've probably seen that yourself in certain situations. Someone comes in, I can remember a situation in the church where this man, he always came in late. But he always came in right up towards the front, and he looked round at everybody and nodded at everybody, wanted people to see him coming in. It was like a grandstand. And once had a problem in a church where this particular family were causing problems to another family, and they came in during the first hymn. The second hymn. The opening prayer had taken place, the opening hymn, and they came in right up to the front. Right up under my nose. As far as they could get, right up to the front. And they kept looking round at this other family. They'd caused immense problems. So there's a fact it was a matter of discipline. And so I went on behalf of the session of the church along with another elder and told this family. They weren't welcome any longer in the church because of their attitude towards their fellow believers. It's a hard thing to do. But you see, there was pride here, causing disruption in the church and causing havoc in the work of God, causing harm and hardship to another family. Very difficult thing to do, but it had to be done. You see, they weren't willing to take the lower place. They wanted to be up at the front and all the while doing damage to their fellow brethren and sisters in Christ. Take the lowest place. The Lord desires of us to be clothed with humility. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 and 2. He said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. He said in Philippians 2 and 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You see, brethren and sisters in Christ, tonight humility means putting Christ first. Others second, ourselves last. And when you read Philippians chapter 2, as you can when you go home at some other time, the thought is others. So the believer's eyes are turned away from himself and focused on the needs of others. It's a key element in humility. It's one of the hardest matters under the sun to become nothing in ourselves. But God requires of us to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Be clothed with humility. And then I want you to see here, thirdly, the emphasis on humility. The Savior emphasized it. He emphasized it. You remember he took a little child in Matthew 18. And he put that little child in the midst of the disciples. And he said, except you become as that little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And then, of course, in Luke 18 and 14, there's a reference to the publican who cried to the Lord for mercy and received it. And he went to his home justified. In contrast with the proud Pharisee. With all his boasting about his attainments, there was no change in his life. God requires humility. Humility. The Savior emphasized. And then the saints in the Old Testament and the New Testament emphasized it's important. Moses humbled himself before the Lord, as did David and Hezekiah and many others. And the challenge to our hearts tonight in this meeting is, will we humble ourselves? Will we be willing to recognize our own sinfulness and the sinfulness of pride that is within us and have done with it? Remember the words of Job in Job 42, 5 and 6. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, brethren and sisters, when we hear the voice of God, when we hear the word of God, and when we see the Lord, our hearts are humbled before Him. Remember Isaiah chapter 6? He saw the Lord, and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. Great men and women of God down through the centuries have laid great emphasis upon the importance of humility. The Puritan Sib said this, no grace is stronger than humility. Augustine said, as pride was the beginning of sin, so humility must be the beginning of Christian discipline. It was said of Daniel Rowland, the great Welsh preacher, that sometimes he would not turn up to speak at a service. And they would go out and up and down the country lanes looking for Daniel Rowland. And there they would hear him praying behind the hedge. I cannot go up there. I dare not go up there unless thou dost go with me. And sometimes he wouldn't turn up for a service because he felt so much the pride of his heart. Oh, brethren and sisters, may the Lord humble us tonight. There's an emphasis on humility. And then, of course, there's the example of humility. And the great example of humility, the supreme example of humility, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was humble in his birth. He was humble in his upbringing. He was humble in his life. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head, the Bible says. He slept in the hinder part of the ship. He sat down with the publicans and sinners. He said in Matthew 11:29, I am meek and lowly in heart. And then he was humble in his death. Do you think of that great passage in Philippians 2, that we might read that again and it might be saturated into our very hearts. The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself. The steps of his condescension or his humiliation are set before us there in that great passage. Made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of men. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What an example of humiliation. And the Lord Jesus Christ has set us an example that we should follow in his steps. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. And you know, in the upper room when his disciples apparently refused to minister, Jesus arose, laid aside his outer garments and put on the long linen towel and washed the disciples' feet. He said, I am among you as he that serveth. And that's the position we need to take tonight. Submissive to the Lord, to each other. Taking a humble place. During the American Civil War, there was a general called George B. McClellan. He was put in charge of one of the great armies because he was a noted general. But he fancied himself. He was a proud man. And he enjoyed hearing people call him a young Napoleon. But his performance was less than sensational. And President Lincoln commissioned his general-in-chief, hoping this would get some action from him, but he still procrastinated. On one occasion, Lincoln and two of his other staff members went to visit McClellan, only to find he was out at a wedding. And they waited and waited for hours. And eventually McClellan came back and he just walked past them up the stairs. And the other men with President Lincoln were really mad about this. And then they sent a servant to call him and they discovered he'd gone to bed. Never even came down to speak to him. Lincoln, great president, merely got up and led the way home. And he said this is the words of President Lincoln. This is no time to be making points of etiquette and personal dignity. The president explained, I would hold McClellan's horse if he would only bring us success. You see, President Lincoln had the attitude of humility. And that was what helped to make Lincoln not only a great man, but a great president. He was not thinking of himself. He was thinking of serving others. What an example. But above all, we have the example of Christ, who, as we've said, made himself of no reputation. His was not the death of a martyr, but the death of a Savior. He willingly laid down his life for his people. Jowett said, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. If there is to be any blessing, there must be bleeding. At a religious festival in Brazil, a missionary was going round from booth to booth and she was examining all these wares that were up for sale. And she saw a sign above one booth, cheap crosses. Cheap crosses. Thought to himself, or to herself, that's what many Christians are looking for. Cheap crosses. The Lord's cross was not cheap, friend. Why should ours be? There's a challenge to humility. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. May the Lord apply the message of His Word to our hearts tonight for His name's sake.